Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we worship you this morning. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I want you to wave your hands and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just sing it for one or two times. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we love you, Lord, this morning. Do you love him? Say it. I love you, Jesus. Lord, we love you here this morning. We give you the glory and the praise. And as always, the entrance of your word brings light. Now let that light shine in our hearts this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glorify yourself in the message of the Lord and take control. We give you control in Jesus' name. And somebody says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, Holy Ghost invasion. Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. Holy Ghost invasion for just a little bit. You say, well, what kind of thing is that? Well, we'll find out. Last week, I chose to preach a message that was very close to the one the week before that Pastor Emmanuel preached. And it was deliberate. Because I've noticed that sometimes, you know, I mean, we have a variety of preachers and God has blessed us with tremendous men of faith here. But sometimes, you know, we preach here, we preach there, and so forth. So last week I actually chose, I said, well, you know, I think that message on victory doesn't come by accident. It's a good message. So I thought I'll just preach something right close to that. That's why we preach the Ultimate Warrior and so on. You know, so back to back to give us some kind of continuity, you know, to have the good feel for the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Today, though, I want to go in this direction right here. Now, Holy Ghost invasion. The first thing that I want to say is that the Lord, he promised something when he was going. He promised to the disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I'm going to just talk to us for a little bit here. He said, you know, they were asking questions about the times and so forth. He said, don't worry about that. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I want somebody to say power. Oh, well, it doesn't sound like power. Say it like power. That's right. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Well, we saw what happened on the day of Pentecost. Just like Jesus said. Because he told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you receive the endowment of power, the promise of the Father that you have heard of me. And on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we saw what happened. The Bible says that there were, you know, Jews from every nation. They came there, you know, and so forth. But before they found out what was going on, these disciples were waiting, about 120 of them waiting in that upper room. And the next thing you know, there was a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And they began to speak with other tongues. And then Peter spoke and gave a wonderful sermon and so forth. And everybody initially thought they were drunk and all of that. You know this story. Well, there's a song that says, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were in the upper room with one accord. They gathered together 120 to receive the power that was promised to come. The Holy Ghost fell upon each one. As the Spirit gave to each, they spoke with tongues. Jews that came in from everywhere, they couldn't understand what was happening up there. But Peter stood up and he lifted up his voice. He spoke and he said, This is that spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days my spirit I'll pour, not only to me, but also to you. Every child of God that wants can get it too. I've got it. You got it? Do you have that power of the Holy Ghost? If you have that power of the Holy Ghost, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that promise is unto you, Peter said, and unto your children, and unto all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And you know, the book of Joel, Joel, by the Spirit of God, gave a prophecy. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, it's kind of like, you know, whether they are, you know, whether they are looking for it or not, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's kind of like an invasion. You know, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and things will begin to happen. You know, he said, you know, they're going to begin to prophesy. They're going to begin to break forth. You know, the young men, young ladies will begin to see visions. Older folks will begin to prophesy. You know, upon your daughters and your handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that's a promise. And I'm going to challenge God for some part of that promise here today. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to get right into this message. That was just a background, you know. But also God said, you know, the things about the word of God, you know, you can, when you find something in the word of God, you can take it and challenge God about it. And if you can line up yourself with all the things that God said, you know, sometimes there are conditions and various things like that, you know, then you can hold God to his word. Amen. You know, I want to read some places where God talked about a shaking and where a shaking actually happened. You know, we are told in the book, I mean, if you look here in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, let me read from verses 26 to 27 of Hebrews chapter 12. You know, he said, whose voice then shook the world? But he promised that not only, can somebody put up that scripture, those in the back, Hebrews 12, and let's stay with this message here, thank you. Hebrews 12, 26. Not only did he shake the world at that time, you know, but he has also promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but I will shake the heavens also. How many of you can say amen to that? There is coming a shaking, folks. And look at the next verse in Hebrews 12 and 27. There is coming a shaking. A shaking that will shake everything, you know, because this word that says yet once more, it signifies the removing of things, you know, that are shaking. Some things will shake away and God will put them away. But there are some things that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. And we receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Yes, let us have grace by which we can serve God acceptably with godly fear, because our God is what? A consuming fire. You have to read all the remaining verses there. So there is coming a shaking. Now, this shaking was typified, you know, in many ways. We saw this shaking, you know, rushing mighty wind on the day of Pentecost. We also saw in Acts chapter 4, when the disciples were threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, they came back, you know, and they prayed with their company, the rest of their team. And let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 28. In this place, after they prayed, now this is not the day of Pentecost, this was a little bit later. You know, they did all the, they said, look, God, these people are doing all these things that you have done. I mean, that they, you have said in the word and so forth. And they begin to pray. And as they begin to pray, the Bible says they called on God to stretch forth his hand. They asked God that he would do great and mighty signs through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. And that's the second time There was a shaking there in their lives, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, so we see that the experience of, you know, being charged with the Holy Ghost is not just, doesn't necessarily have to be just a one-time thing. It's, you can come back, and you can come back and be charged again. I'm going to go to the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Let's look at chapter 2 of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. And I'm going to read verse 14. So this is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Now, Habakkuk, he said, look, I am going to stand on my watch. I'm going to see what the Lord will say and so forth. And then the Lord began to show him a vision. And he went down and so forth. And then when we got down into this verse, he said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. How many of you say amen to that? This is a promise, folks. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, the Lord. That's Jehovah. And it's going to be like the waters cover the sea. Now, it's going to come like a deluge. It's going to be like an invasion of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we are going to talk about here this morning. I'm just laying a background for some of these promises. Now, there are promises in the Bible. I have so many of them. In the book of Isaiah, he talks about, look, he said, look, what do you think the Lord is going to do? Well, he's done some things in the past, just like Haggai said. You know, you've done some things in the past. Those of you that saw this house in its former glory, how do you see it as of now? Well, it looks like shambles. Said, don't worry about it. The Lord is going to do a new thing. Amen. You know, look at Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, here's what the Lord said. Some of the promises of the things that the Lord's going to do. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither even consider this. Don't worry about it. I am going, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. And shall ye not know it? Well, you're going to know it because he's going to tell us in advance. He's already told us in the word of God, and he's going to bring it. I will even make a way in the wilderness. I will bring rivers in the deserts. And there's so many promises that he said he will do. Well, I'm going to skip some of that and jump to this one. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, because I want to go right into this invasion message. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, remember we just read about in Habakkuk how the glory of the Lord will fill the earth, the revelation of the glory of God. Well, let's take a look at this. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. It's talking about from the east to the west, or from the west to the east, whichever way you want to look at it. He says in Isaiah 59, you know, let's look at it. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. So from the east to the west, the fear of the Lord is coming. The glory of the Lord is coming. How is he going to do it? Well, when, you know, and he gave a timing of when it is going to happen. He has a timing right here in this verse. That's the next sentence. So the first part, 51:19a, is what we just read. 51:19b gives a timing of when it's going to happen. Now, when is this thing going to happen? This glory of the Lord that's going to stretch from the east to the west. When is it going to happen? Well, he explains it here. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. All you have to do is look around you right now. We are even worse off than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the truth. If you thought Sodom and Gomorrah was something, all you have to do is look around you. We are worse off today. We are worse off today. And the cup of iniquity is full. And the darkness is coming in. I mean, you can just feel the thick darkness. And the Bible says, the world shall be engrossed in thick darkness. He said, but the glory of the Lord shall rise upon you. Hallelujah. Now, he gave a timing. When the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Holy Ghost will lift up a standard against him. And how is he going to do it? It's going to be this Holy Ghost invasion that I'm about to talk about in just a few minutes. This is the way that God is going to push back of darkness that is engulfing the whole world. Well, you know, the irony of it is this. For those of us that walk in the light, we are in the light. Hallelujah. There may be darkness in Egypt, but over here in Goshen, there is light. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord, he called, even at this same time, when all this evil was going on, he called some of his strong angels. You know, the Bible calls them the eyes of the Lord. You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth and so forth like that. Well, God doesn't need to move to and fro. The whole earth and the whole universe is inside his belly. Hallelujah. But these eyes, you know, the Bible says these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord. You know, they are the spirits of God, the flaming fire that's before him. And so they are the eyes of the Lord. So God, he likes to give them some things to do. So he sends them out. They go back and forth and so forth. And they come back and say, all is at rest. It is well with the people of God. Amen. Now, no matter the evil that is going on in the land, you know, the strong angels, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. They are reporting that it is well with you. Amen. It is well with you. That's the report that they bring. It is well with my people. And it is well with God's people. Well, it may not be well with everybody, but it is well with your people. It is well. The Lord, they said to the Lord, say, well, you know, they say, the Lord said, okay, what's going on? You know, because he likes to give them something to do. And they said, well, Lord, we have gone up and down the breadth and length of the earth and so forth. And we see that your children, they are receiving an abundance of the knowledge of the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know what you see, but that's what I see. I see that in book of Psalm 110. Praise the Lord. Psalm 110. This is what I see in verse 3. Thy people, hallelujah, shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's right. That's what I see. In the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, oh my goodness, thou hast, oh, even the dew of thy youth. God is going to renew something like you've never seen before. But are you ready? Are you going to be ready? Or even are you ready? So we see that the revelation of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth, you know, and it is as a timing when the devil brings a huge onslaught against the world. But God's going to do something here. Now, by the divine act of the Holy Spirit, the act of God, which, you know, the Holy Spirit is the champion of it, you know, this is how he's going to do it. And yeah, we're going to pray a prayer here today. I'm going to challenge us with it. But this is what we are looking for. You know, we are looking for God to do a shaking. We are looking for him to do a moving in our lives. Amen. In our homes, amen. Even in our neighborhoods, amen. We're looking for God to do a shaking in our schools, in our colleges, hallelujah. We're looking for God to do a shaking in the nation. But above all, we are looking for God to do a shaking in the churches and in our services, hallelujah. And what we are saying here today is that God is going to invade. Yeah, the Holy Ghost. He's going to interrupt. That's right. And see, you've got to get to the point. And I'm getting to the deep part of this message right now. Remember, the deep calls unto the deep. You know. So, the strong part of this message is this. You are going to have to, and every one of us, is going to have to give control to the Holy Ghost to interrupt your life. Let me say that again. God is going to interrupt your plans. God is going to interrupt your day. God is going to interrupt your life, the Holy Ghost. See? But when we are not ready, and you see, that's why I read that scripture, are thy people going to be willing in the day of thy power? Are they going to be? Well, most of the time people are not willing. Here's what happens. We know that Jesus has the master key. We know that. And he has the master key, and there's, you know, it's just like this building. I mean, you're not going to believe how many rooms are in this building. Some of you haven't seen it all. You know, I mean, and so Jesus has the master key, and you own the house. You know, and he has the master key to the building, and it opens every door. But when he wants to get into certain doors, you say, that door is off limits. That door is out of bounds. You can't get in there. And, you know, well, he said, okay, fine. I'm going to just stand out here and knock. If you open unto me, I'm going to come in there. I'm going to shake things up. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost does, folks. He shakes things up. He challenges the status quo. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you may not understand where that's going, but you will. But if you say to the Lord that, you know, well, you can't get into this part of the room or the house, you know, so, you know, you don't give him control. Now, I've said this before, and, you know, some people don't agree with me when I say it, but that's okay, you know. But God doesn't have control over everything unless you give him control. Now, God has control over his eternal purpose. God has control over, you know, the things that have to do, you know, with how he's going to bring in all righteousness and bring the Christ and establish him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's got that. But he has given us free will. And he has given some things in our hands. You know, even that devil had the audacity to come in front of Jesus and say, look, all these things are delivered unto me. Well, you know, all the evil and so forth that's having in the land, and wickedness and evil and slaughter and so forth that's going on in the world. You think God's doing that? No, it's the wickedness that brought upon the people. You know, so you say, well, you know, some people, you know, sing the song, God is in control. I sing that song too. I love it. God is in control. Well, if you want God to be in control, then give him permission to interrupt your life. You see, if you have not done that, all this singing that God is in control is fake. And it's hypocritical. If you cannot allow God to interrupt your day and interrupt this service, you know, like this service, we got it all planned out. It's wonderful. In the morning, we come, the praise team are up here. You know, and they, you know, they say prayer and they sing some worship song and so forth like that. Then we got a little prayer segment. Then we got the Bible study. Then we got some announcements. Then we got the exhortation. Then we got this and so on. And we got it all laid out. And that's good. But God will need to interrupt that program. That's right. There will be a time that he will interrupt that program. And the minister will not be able to stand up here to preach. The praise team that is scheduled will not be able to sing. The announcement, the Bible study, all of those things will not happen. The Holy Ghost has interrupted the service. And if you are not willing, then God is not in control. You know, so I challenge anybody, those who like to say God is in control of everything, I challenge you. Do you allow God to interrupt your life? Do you allow the Holy Ghost to interrupt your day? You already got things planned. You already got what you are going to do. And Holy Ghost said no. You going this way, Holy Ghost said no. Go this other way. Do you allow the Holy Ghost to interrupt your plans? Do you allow the Holy Ghost to interrupt your day? You've got things laid off for your life. You have your own idea of how things are going to work out. But Holy Ghost said no. Will you give him control? Will you allow him to invade your life? Are you still with me, folks? When we get to the point that we can allow the Holy Ghost to invade our lives as believers, then there's going to be real revival. Real revival. We've been praying for it for years, but it's not going to happen, folks, because we are not ready. We are not willing in the day of his power. You know, we still have our own set ways. We want to do things a certain way. And that's it. And if things, if the way you got it planned out, and if the Holy Ghost tried to step out of line, notice, you know, I'm saying that with a tongue in the cheek. If the Holy Ghost tries to step out of line in the way you got things planned, oh, no, you shut him down. You know, then he is not in control. But when he is in control, when we allow him to invade our lives, first, the believer. Well, it starts here in the pulpit. Amen. Hallelujah. When we allow the Holy Ghost to invade the services, when we allow the Holy Ghost to invade our prayer meetings, don't come with any preconceived notion. I mean, some people come to a prayer meeting and the first thing they're thinking about is, when are we going to close? Before they even come there, they call and ask, what time is the service going to end? So that they will know whether they can come or not. Well, you know, that's fine. But, you know, under those circumstances, the Holy Ghost cannot invade. Because he already knows we have our set ways. And he's a gentleman sometimes. And he just lets you do your own thing. Let me tell you something. Even when God decides to invade your life, you must turn around and say, Lord, what will you have me do? If you don't do that, he still may not go forward. There is a beautiful story in Acts chapter 9, the story of Saul of Tarsus. He had letters from Jerusalem and so forth. I mean, letters to go and arrest the saints and all of these things and so forth. And as he was going on the way to Damascus, some of you may know the story. You know, there was a brilliant light that surrounded him. And they fell down and so forth. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus got a hold of him. The Lord interrupted his plans. But he had a choice. Even at that, he had a choice. He could have said, away with it. I don't want any part of this. And he would, you know. But he turned it over. Lord, what will thou have me do? When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you need to immediately turn it over. If you don't turn it over, well, you know, what is he going to do? But when Saul turned it over, the Lord, he said, look, here's what I want you to do. You can't kick against the pricks. You know, I want you on the winning side. Amen. You know, I got plans for you. You know, and you're going to do this and so forth. And, you know, Saul said, whatever, Lord, you know, I am yours. And that's where it all began for him. You know, Moses, in the backside of the desert, in the book of Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord will get his attention, there was the flaming fire, the bush, but he didn't consume the bush. The fire was there, but the bush was not burned. 1 minute, it was dirt and stones and rocks and reptiles and brush and bush and leaves and so forth and whatever was there, 1 minute. The next minute, because of the presence and the glory of God, it became holy ground. Hallelujah. That's how God can transform something very quickly from dirt to holy ground because of the fire of the Lord. But when he chose to reveal that to Moses, the Lord just showed him the sign. God didn't say anything. He showed him the sign. And Moses had a choice. The choice he had was he could have seen that great sight and ran home and say, my goodness, I saw the glory of God today. You know, and he'd be done with it. That's the experience. That would be the end of his experience, which is the story of many believers. When we see a phenomena from God, we zero in on that phenomena, and that's the end of it. But we don't allow the Lord to do his perfect work, what he wants to do. That phenomena was just a bait, if you want to call it that. Just to get your attention. But after Moses saw that, he said, now I will turn aside and see this great sight. Why this thing is not burnt? Then when he said that, God said, yeah, now we are talking. Now the word of God began to come to him out of the flame of fire. Hallelujah, somebody. But he could have just seen the flame of fire and went away, and he would never have received the word of God. You know, so when God starts doing something, and when you see that God is on a roll, go with the roll. Hallelujah. That's any area of your life. Go with the roll. Turn it over to him and let him do what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Because his ways are far above your ways. His thoughts are far above your thoughts. I mean, I can preach a whole sermon just on that. You know, how God does things that is so far beyond of us, and we don't even know what he's doing. And God has no responsibility to explain himself to you. Amen. Amen, folks. I mean, some people have become so religious and so close to God, they think that God owes them you know, some explanation about the things that God's... God doesn't owe anybody anything. In fact, he owns everything and everybody. Praise the Lord. So God doesn't have to explain himself to you. You need to believe God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hallelujah. You have to believe that. That's non-negotiable. God is already there. And God is way ahead of you. You know, so, but when you release control to him, oh, that's when he begins to work. You know, I'm praying, Lord, that God will invade our lives. You can say amen to that. Unless you are not willing in the day of his power. Some people are not really willing. You know, when we talk about revival, I mean, it's good to talk about revival. People cite, you know, Azusa Street, Charles Seymour, and so on. You know, people cite all these things and so on. But are we really willing to do and go through the things that bring revival? No. Not yet, at least. But we will be in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. You know, some people, you know, I mean, if the air conditioning went off in this place right now, some people may not come to church next week. Our place is too hot. You know, and so forth like that. Well, you know, by the grace of God, the air conditioning will not go off. Amen. It'll be comfortable. But, you know, the point is this. It's not about the air conditioning. It's not about these beautiful seats or anything like that. It's about the glory of God. It is the beauty of God. It is the glory of God that beautifies our life. It is the Holy Ghost presence that makes a service what it should be. Hallelujah. We can plan the service from top to bottom. We can plan any event and so forth. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. If he wants to invade, let him do. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm praying that the Holy Ghost will invade our lives. I'm praying that the Holy Ghost will invade our families. Let the Holy Ghost invade even our cities and our neighborhoods. Our schools. Do you know what happens when the Holy Ghost invades the school? All these young people that you are seeing here, they are going to stand up for Christ. And they are going to say, except ye also repent, ye will go to hell. And they won't be afraid. Hallelujah. Oh, I've tasted it and I've seen it before. That's what happens when the Holy Ghost invades a campus. When the Holy Ghost invades your life, you will no longer worry about somebody is going to fire you because you stood up for Christ. When you are still worried, that's why the Bible says, the overcomers, in Revelation 12 and 11, they did not love their lives unto death. When you still love your life, when you still love somebody going to say something against you, your peers, and you young people, listen to me today. The reasons many young people can't stand up for Christ is because they won't be popular among their peers. Well, that is a fallacy from hell. Your peers should want to be like you. That's right. In my days, when we were believers in the olden days, young time and so forth, everybody wanted to be like us. You know, they wanted to be part of that group. Because it was like, my goodness, what's with these people? They wanted to be a part of it. And we walked with our head high all the time. Hallelujah. You know, we had a brooch that said Jesus lives, or Jesus this, or Jesus saves, or something. You know, we were always Jesus people. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that even when I was a young man, when I was in college and so forth, in university, I mean, some of my classmates, they didn't even know my name. They called me Jesus Saves all the time. You know, Jesus saves. I say, yes, he does. But are you going to let him save your life? Now, let me talk about Jesus saves. Holy Ghost, you're bringing to my mind now. Yes, Holy Ghost, you can interrupt this message anytime you want. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me talk about Jesus saves. Because most people, believers, and even everybody, they want Jesus to save them. Everybody wants Jesus to save them, right? Because he shall save his people from their sins. That's his name, Jesus. That's what it means. Yeshua. It means the Lord our salvation. So he will save his people from. That's what it means. That's what he does. But I tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ came and already finished that work. But there is a work that he has not finished yet. See, he already finished the work of eternal salvation. He said, it is finished. He made an open show of principalities and powers. He woke the devil all over the place. And he got the keys of hell and death. And he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. He got it. Oh my goodness. He came out of there, folks. Before he went there, he prayed until blood was coming out of his head. He was going for the prize of pearl, the pearl of great price. He was going for it. And he got it. That's why you are sitting here today. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. So he's already finished that part. And if you read all of the epistles of Paul and some of these people and so forth, they talked more about Jesus the Lord than they talked about Jesus the Savior. Because everybody wants Jesus to be Savior, but people don't want Jesus to be the Lord. When Jesus is the Lord, he will interrupt your day. He will interrupt your life. He will have control because you gave him control. That's what lordship means. It means he is Lord over your life. Now, our Savior, we understand. Look, I'm already saved. In fact, before the world began, my name was already in the book of life. That one is a done deal. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is every day is Jesus Lord of my life. See, because saved people, Jesus is not Lord of their lives. Jesus is not Lord of their tongues. They use the same tongue to bless the Lord, to say, Jesus, my Savior. And they use that tongue to curse somebody else. They use that tongue to say somebody is a fool. So Jesus is not Lord of that area of their lives. See, so the one that the Holy Ghost wants to work on is for Jesus to be Lord of your life. Can you say amen to that? Not just to quote it that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean to be Lord? He is sovereign. And he has the ability to take control and charge. But he waits for you to give it to him. Will you give him control? Will you let him interrupt your day? Will you let him interrupt the things in your life and so forth? I pray this prayer. I say, Lord, shake me to wake me up. Shake us to wake us up. Hallelujah. You know, one time I said, look, when do you need revival? Well, when you come into the service like this, which started at 10 o'clock, and right now you're already looking at your watch, it's only been 2 hours, and it looked like we've been here for 6 hours, then you need revival. Hallelujah. That's right. You know, we're not here just to drag the service, but you get the point. You know, when it is more comfortable for you to sit down and watch this nonsense that they do on TV, you know, and so forth, and social media and all that, when all of that is more comfortable than for you to hear a preaching like this that tells you you got to surrender your life to the Lord, then you need real revival. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are so far, folks, from true revival. We talk about it all the time. But the Lord said, my people, in vain do they worship me. They cry unto me for revival every time. But their heart is far away from me because they do not give me control. That's thus saith the Lord. He told me last night. You know, and... You know, how are you going to give him control? You say, I don't know how. Just say, Lord, here am I. What would you have me do? You know, you don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or anything like that. You know, just say some few simple words. You know, the same, you know that when those of us who are believers and who are evangelists at heart, we love to preach to people. And we know how to tell people, hey, all you got to do is do this and do this and believe the Lord. The Lord, we do this for you and we do that. Well, folks, we need to apply the same rules to ourselves. The same way that you are preaching to others that all they got to do is believe God and just say this and say that. That's the same thing. That's all you got to do is turn your life over to God and let the Holy Ghost invade. Now, Lord, I want you to invade these services. I pray, Lord, that you invade this church. I pray that you invade the marriages that are in this house. Invade the marriages, Lord. invade the homes, invade the schools, invade everywhere. Hallelujah. Have thy own way. That's a song that says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Are you going to let him have his way? Will you truly let him have his way? You know, today, the Bible says that thou that sleepest, in Ephesians 5 and verse 14, awake and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Well, this light comes in the form of a shaking. You know, say, I will shake all things yet once more. There was a shaking once before, and some of you have experienced the shaking before. But he said in his word, I will yet once more shake all things. Hallelujah. I'm looking for that shaking again. That shaking that can turn our lives upside down, but it's really right side up. Amen. That's right. You know, they said concerning the apostles, ye are the ones that have turned the cities and these nations upside down. No, they are turning the place right side up. Because the place was upside down to start with. When he made the heavens. Now let me reveal, you know, there's something about the Holy Ghost that is so little known. People know about Jesus and so on. We know, and I know, and I'll tell you. Jesus, the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call him in any kind of form, is the same Elohim. There's no difference. He just comes in different forms. But when it is working in that Holy Ghost capacity, it is very little known by most people. They don't know. They don't understand how the Holy Ghost moves. That's why the Bible says, quench not the spirit. Because they don't understand. So when the Lord, when he created the heavens, you know, scientists said there was a blast. Well, if there was a blast, God created the blast. Can you say amen to that? Amen. If there was a big blast that spontaneously created everything, God created that blast. Because all things were made by him. And there is nothing made that was not made by him. And in him all things consist. And he is the preeminence. He is chief over all. There is nobody like him. Hallelujah. But when he did that, well, of course, there was chaos. There was cataclysmic, you know, upheavals, the rocks flying and everything and so forth like that. And God looked at it and, you know, the thing was void without form and chaos everywhere. Genesis 1 and 2. And he didn't like it at all. But the Holy Ghost, that's where we begin to see how the Holy Ghost works. The Holy Ghost, he began to move. He moved over the face of the deep. Hallelujah. Now, when your life is chaotic, when it has no form, when it is void and darkness everywhere, let that Holy Ghost move. When the Holy Ghost begins to move, he brings order out of chaos. He specializes in that. He also specializes on the other side. Folks, this is news I've got for you today. We already know from Genesis chapters 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, that the Holy Ghost, he knows how to move and bring order out of chaos. We know that. But I'm here to announce to you today that the Holy Ghost, he also specializes in disrupting things. That's right. And this is the part that people don't know about the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is also a jailbreaker, folks. Hallelujah. Yes. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16. Paul out of prison with Silas. He can do all these things. You know, but the thing that the Holy Ghost wants to do that I'm here to tell us today is he wants to take the status quo and he wants to ruffle some wet feathers. He wants to shake some things up. Hallelujah. You know, he wants to take things, you know, that we are so comfortable with and shake them up. You know, because our ways are not his ways necessarily. But when the Holy Ghost, when he moves, when the Holy Ghost decides to move, we need to go with the flow. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Not only in church, not only in services, not only in all these things, even in your personal lives. Because the Holy Ghost tries to take control enough times, you don't let him, you know, Bible says, you know, Some people have grieved the Spirit of God. And we are warned not to grieve the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4 and 30. Grieve not the Spirit of God, by which you are sealed. That Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed unto the day of redemption. If you grieve the Holy Spirit enough times, he may just say, all right, well, fine. Have it your way then. Praise the Lord. Now, we don't want that. We want to say, have your own way, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the Lord have his way. Now, look. You know, God already knows things that you don't know. God knows how to bring this revival. God knows how to call his children from the east and the west. God knows how to bring the revelation of the glory of God. Amen. You know, nobody has that. And some people like to believe that they have that in their hand. No, sir. You don't have it. That's in the hands of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And most of the times, you know, when some people are even praying for revival, some ministers and some gifted men of God, when they are praying for revival, what they are really praying for is that God should move in their ministry. That's really what they are praying for. You know, well, that's not how the Holy Ghost moves. The Holy Ghost can take anybody inside this auditorium right now. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost can bypass the pastor, bypass the prophet, bypass anybody, and take anybody, anyone he wants. Hallelujah. Listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When the Spirit of God just suddenly fell upon Jehaziel in the midst of the congregation. Nobody ever knew anything about Jehaziel before then. But the Holy Ghost just dropped down upon him like that, you know. And all of a sudden, his mind exploded with knowledge and understanding. And he began to see how the battle would go and so forth. And he began to describe it perfectly to Jehoshaphat. Don't worry about it. This is not your fight. It's God's fight. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost can do. He can take anybody. So when we are looking for a real revival, you know, and I've been praying, and I want you to join me today in praying. These young folks that are sitting here, you guys are going to be the ones to shake things up. I got news for you folks. And some of you young people that still think that, well, you know, you might... My mom, my dad, they're dragging me to church and so forth. Yeah, they're dragging you to church. And they will drag you to church. And if you're not dragging your kids to church, you've already missed the mark. Drag them to church. Drag them to the night vigil. When I was young, my kids are here, they'll tell you. I carried them, we dragged them to the night vigil. Mosquito coil, whatever. Lay down there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today, they are all in the house of God. Praise God. Drag them to the night vigil. Drag them to anything. You know, and one day, praise God. Praise God. I want everybody to say one day. Say it again, one day. Do you know, folks, one day, we will not say one day. We will say today. Hallelujah. Today, we may be saying one day. And I am saying it. One day, Lord, I don't want to be able to stand in this place and preach. I want the Holy Ghost to invade this service. That's one day. But before that one day, I'm going to go to the night vigil. I'm going to fall upon my face. I'm going to cry to the Lord. I'm going to hold God to his word. Read the Bible. You will know that that's how God works. That's the pattern, folks. First of all, God promises something that he's going to do. It always begins with God. And it always ends with God. Because he's the Alpha and finisher of our faith. God says, I'm going to bring the revelation of the knowledge of the glory of God. As the waters cover the sea, I'm going to bring the glory of God from the east to the west. He already said that, folks. We don't need to be praying that. He already said it. But what we need to pray is now we go to God and say, Lord, that which you have spoken with your mouth, fulfill it with your hand as it is this day in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple, he began to quote all the things that his father used to tell him. You know, and he began to quote. And after he quoted, he turned back to God and said, you are the one that said to my father, that there will not cease a man to sit upon his throne. And he began to tell God, all that which you have promised, Lord, fulfill it with your hand today. And God said, yeah, I will fulfill it. But I'm going to tell you something too. If you will walk in my ways, then I will fulfill it. But if you depart from me, this beautiful house and this glorious house that I chose to put my name there, I will make it a dunghill. God is so interested in houses. The house, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. I don't care how beautiful the temple. I don't care whether it's Solomon's temple. I don't care if it is some, you know, some people are trying to outdo others in buildings. God doesn't care about those things. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, he said, ye say the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord. But in your heart is iniquity. Well, he said, I will make this house like Shiloh. You know, God can bring it down. He doesn't care about those things. And he told Solomon, you better walk in my ways and do according to your father David, how he did and followed my ways. And then I will establish that promise. But if you walk away from me and your heart be turned away from me to serve other gods, even this place that I chose to put my name there, I will make it a dunghill. It will become a proverb. It will become a by-saying to people. And the people shall say, why did the Lord do all of these things? And the heathen will say, because they forsook the Lord their God. That's why the Lord put them to this shame. Folks, it is time. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Come on, folks. It is time for an Holy Ghost invasion. It is time to let the Holy Ghost have his way. We have done our own thing long enough. I want you to begin to pray. And there may be some of you, I am going to invite you right now. If you say, Lord, I want you to invade my life. I want you to interrupt my plans. Even in your ministry. I want you to invade this church. I want you to take control of my life. I give you control. If you say that, I want you to come forward here before the altar here this morning. If you are in the building today, and say, Lord, I need that Holy Ghost invasion in my life. I need God to interrupt my day from time to time. When I'm planning to do this, Lord, I give you the liberty to interrupt me. If that's you here today, I want you in front of this altar and you begin to pray. Begin to get a hold of God. Now, when God is trying to get a hold of you, you must in turn get a hold of God. When God got a hold of Saul of Tarsus, Saul in turn got a hold of God. What will you have me do, Lord? If you are here, you can begin to pray. You can go down on your knees if you want to. You can lie down on your face. You can do anything you want. But you need to get a hold of God before you leave this place today. Turn it over to him. Give him control. Hallelujah. And I'm coming here to join. And I say, Lord, I want you to interrupt this church. Interrupt the services. Scatter the plans of man. Scatter the beautiful programs. Bring, Lord, your glory. Let the beauty of our God shine upon us. Let the glory and the revelation of the beauty and the glory of God cover us. As the waters cover the sea. Have thine own way, Lord. 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 Father, we have sinned. We have sinned, Lord. Because we have followed everyone our devices. The devices of our hearts. And we have not given control to the Lord. But today, Lord, we pray, thou before whom there is mercy, thou unto whom belongeth forgiveness of sins. I mean, you are the only one that can do that. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Have mercy upon us today. And we're asking, Lord, for a renewing of the right spirit within us. We are right asking you, Lord, to invade our lives in the name of Jesus. And somebody said, amen. I want us to pray together. When I pray this prayer, if you believe with me, I want you to say amen. And as you hear something that I pray and you believe, I want you to say amen. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in our lives. We thank you because you saved us. You redeemed us from the works of darkness. And you brought us into your glorious kingdom. And we have you as our Savior. Today, Lord, we want you to be Lord of our lives. Every part of our lives. We give you, we relinquish control to you in Jesus' name. Have thy own way. Interrupt our day. Interrupt our lives. Interrupt our plans. Interrupt this church. Invade this church, Lord. Invade the services. Invade the, among the praise team. Invade the lives of the preachers. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you invade the lives of these teenagers. Invade their lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, invade our inner cities. Invade our neighborhoods. Invade even this nation. And the nations, wherever the elect of God are all over the earth. Let the revelation of the glory of God begin to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Amen. That which you have promised in your word, that when the enemy, you gave us a timing. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we see that he's all over the place like a flood now. This is the time that the Holy Ghost will invade. He will lift a standard by his invasion. But will my people be willing in the day of my power? Will they turn to me with all their hearts? Will they have every one of their hearts circumcised? And will their heart be perfect before me? For I have seen the worship of the mouth, and I have seen the praise of the lips, but the heart has not been perfect before me. Turn your hearts unto me, saith the Lord. Rend your hearts. Rend everyone, every man, his heart before me, that I may have full control of your lives. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, take control of our lives, Lord. And these young people that may say, well, what is all this phenomena? Father, inscribe it in their hearts. Let them begin to understand. Let it be like, you know, you just lift the veil. And they begin to enter in and begin to understand in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. That which you have promised with your mouth, fulfill it with your hand as it is this day in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people shall be willing even in the day of his power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, where every time we come into the house of the Lord, we will be full with expectation in our hearts, believing that that day is the day that the singers will not be able to sing, that the preachers will not be able to preach because of the ascent of the glory of God and even the descent of the flame of fire in the name of Jesus among us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. All to Jesus I render. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Oh, oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all. To Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. As many of you as can pray in the Spirit, I want you to begin to pray. God is going to do something in your life today. Hallelujah. Sonderi ala koshin darabo sikamia. Rianda balakunde sekenderi mato shandoria. Rahonde rahonde rimo sakaraba. Les kotondish kirina and hundis karuba baina. Rianda balos kanira etosha etosha rabos. Parule kendemo sakaruba lashi. Le rekendo bosaria. Urinabo shenda kuriaba sinda. Landi karuba shekeri baso. Halosia ba, halosia ba, halosia ba. Yatera bo shilalai, shilalai, shilalai basanda kutamori. I surrender. Oh, aloka sandaria. I surrender. I surrender all, to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. For those of you who have been playing church, choose you this day whom you will serve. You cannot play church, folks. Jesus will be Lord or nothing at all in our lives. Jesus will not take second place. He will be first or He will be nothing. He will remain outside the door until you give Him control to everything. Raikedo sambandori and shilaros. Riamba tokeri nabalu satchomakandi motai. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thy way. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. And everybody says, everybody says, the Lord hear you concerning your prayers today. The Lord your God established even the word of your mouth that you have prayed. Out of the bosom of your heart that you have prayed before Him, let Him establish it today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Let's clap for the Lord in the house here. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated.